Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talking Culture, the show that features leaders who practice the fundamental system of high-performing culture. I'm Sean Sweeney, broadcast and co-founder of High Performing Culture. My guest today is Joanne Finnegan, CEO and president of ReMed. Hey, Joanne, thanks so much for coming on today.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so let's get rolling. Let's talk culture. Having you tell us a little bit about ReMed, what you guys do, the number of employees you have, locations, things like that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So ReMed is a organization that provides brain injury, rehabilitation, and supported living to individuals after traumatic events, also other neurologic situations. We've been around for almost 35 years, and we have locations now in the Philadelphia area, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, all in Pennsylvania, and then East Brunswick, New Jersey area, Columbia and Silver Spring, Maryland, and even as far as Covington, Louisiana. Currently, I think we're a little under 500 employees. And, you know, we focus on trying to help individuals that have had some kind of traumatic event get back to their life in a way that is meaningful to them. And also, you know, after a catastrophic injury, you know, trying to help to provide some hope for them as well.
Right. So given that the business is 35 years old, is that something that you started or did you join that business after it was started?
So the business was founded by two individuals back in 1984, and I actually joined the organization in 1986.
Okay. And so you're a medical professional, I assume?
So, yes. Yeah, so I when I started here, actually, it was supposed to be sort of one of those stepping stones. So I'm a recreational therapist by background. I came to ReMed while I was in graduate school working on my business degree, and loved it and decided at that point, probably related to the culture, that it was somewhere that I really felt that I wanted to stay and try to make a greater impact.
Interesting. So how long have you been CEO?
So I've been CEO since 2001.
2001, okay. So your situation is a little bit different than some of HPC's clients in that you probably have two that your culture plays to. One is your culture, how that works in your particular business, and then also your patients, sort of, which would be your end users. So how do you use culture today in you know, sort of winning business and attracting and retaining employees, that type of thing? What role does that play?
Well, it's huge. And I'll start with, you know, the individuals that we work with. So the individuals that come to us with brain injury, you know, they are a customer. And so it's really important for, and it always has been for us, to be providing an open and accepting environment. And, you know, it's a people business. So how our staff interact with those individuals and make them feel comfortable and, you know, sort of lay out a plan, typically in a really difficult situation. I mean,
yeah.
You know, somebody's life changes in a moment. And, you know, all of a sudden you're meeting all these people that are helping you. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't always feel that way. So
right.
They are a customer, their families. And then, you know, the places that refer to us, so whether it's, you know, a hospital or a rehab hospital, an insurance company, you know, so a case manager, discharge planner, physician. So all of those constituents, you know, we have to make sure that whether it's when we're answering the phone or, you know, providing some service or meeting with them in person, that, you know, we have a way that we present ourselves so that they know that we're listening and that we, you know, we're expert in what we do and that we want to work with them to try to find a solution.
And are your facilities outpatient based, or are they inpatient, or a mixture of both?
Both. So we have what are called residential settings. So because we work with mild, moderate, and severe injuries, so you know, individuals may come to us directly out of the hospital as a continuation of those services. So they may live in our homes or apartment settings for either a short period of time for rehabilitation, or some have been with us for, you know, close to 35 years as well, because they had more significant injuries where home wasn't, you know, a possibility for them based on their needs. We also have outpatient, so more what you would think of an outpatient clinic setting, but we can also continue to work with people as they transition back to home, their communities, maybe back to work. So, you know, we can do follow-along services, not just your more traditional outpatient therapy.
You know, as you're talking, I can't think of many businesses where the interaction that your employees are having with your patients could be more critical, and therefore your culture is more critical. So how do you use your culture as a way of attracting and or retaining employees?
This has been, you know, it was such an interesting process to sort of take this on. I mean, I will tell you that and I can, you know, being here as long as I have, I've seen the organization through lots of change over the years. But the thing that was absolutely, I always felt we had a good culture, and we had a strong mission, and we had what we called guiding principles. But I think being able to translate all of that into those behaviors, into those actions that you really want to ensure, you know, whether it's the applicant that's coming in to look at the job, or, you know, as an ongoing sort of dialogue with our employees of what those expectations are, and not just from a supervisor to an employee, but also peer-to-peer, because as you said, we are working in pretty intimate environments. I mean,
yeah.
Our homes are home for many of the individuals. We're also going into people's homes and into people's job sites. And so being able to make sure that, you know, we can really identify those behaviors that we want to hold each other to was really critical.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. I've never really thought about the fact that when you have a workforce that's going into other facilities or even into people's homes, a really strong dynamic culture gives you some assurance that the behaviors they're exhibiting outside of your office and your facilities is the same as what's happening inside. So that's a really interesting point and perspective, and obviously really important in your type of business.
Even when they go into the community, you know, so we have, you know, we support people to go to church or go to the grocery store, go to the Y. And it's interesting. We have had situations where, you know, people have bought a meal for the individual that we work with and the staff. And the comment usually when they walk over to the table to thank them is they thank the staff for I love how you're interacting with, you know, that individual or that group of individuals. I'm so taken by that, and I want to, you know, do something nice for you. So
wow.
People are watching, especially today.
Yeah.
And so again, being able to teach to that has been really important.
So let's take a step back for a second. What originally caused you to start focusing on culture, and when did you start the final system?
So back it'll be 2 years in the fall, you know, I started to really think about this. Our organization was growing. And so, you know, we were typically before, you know, probably 2015, we were really a Pennsylvania-based organization, primarily in the Philly suburbs and the Pittsburgh area. And as we were growing, I kept thinking, you know, we need to really look at this And I happen to know David Freeman from a prior life. And so at one point, and I knew he had done some work in culture initiatives, and particularly in the organization that he helped to found and run for years.
Right.
And so, you know, through those conversations, I thought this might be a good way for us to really solidify some of that. Then what happened? So I didn't do a lot right away, and then we started to go more on the initiative to acquire companies. And I think I had one of those aha moments of, okay, so now we're bringing another culture together.
Right.
How
right.
do we ensure? Yeah, and we all know what, you know, that's usually the thing that is not always helpful in acquisitions is, you know, aligning those cultures. And so I thought, you know, if we have a strong culture and we can speak to it and teach to it, I think it will help us to be able to, as we do these acquisitions, to have a common language and framework. And it's provided exactly that. So it was probably more related to growth than anything else.
So okay, we've got this great new culture. How do we keep it going? What's the formula to build in rituals? So give me some examples of how you guys work on your culture on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, to really keep that going and to keep it deeply embedded into everyone's DNA.
Yeah, I think there's the one thing is we start our meetings, and that can be at the administrative office as well as out in our program sites where, you know, we have the culture placards on the tables and in the meeting rooms, and we really encourage our staff as they, you know, group together to use the fundamental of the week and to really, you know, I mean, it's a couple of minutes, but it's good as a grounding exercise. We do the fundamental of the week. We roll those out on Sunday nights. I will tell you that we're in our third round of fundamentals, and this to me is the best. It started with me. I did the 31 weeks, and then my executive team did a rotation of 31 weeks, and that was great. But now we have a rotation of the program sites, and I love what they're putting together. We had a recent one with all the snowstorms that we've had in the latter part of the winter, and we had one of our sites put to music. The fundamental of that week was honor commitments, and they took pictures during the snowstorm. You know, they had honor commitment is I got to get to work.
Right.
I have to, you know, be able to provide what I provide, whether the weather is bad or not. And so they showed through the day, through pictures and captions, you know, how they did that. And it was perfect. And, you know, and it's fun. And I think having our staff be now, you know, the authors of these Sunday night messages, the creativity is just off the charts. And then we've built it into our recognition program. So when people send in recognitions, they are, you know, related to the fundamentals. So the write-up will include 1 to 10 fundamentals of what someone has done that is, you know, meeting or exceeding those fundamentals.
Interesting. That's pretty fascinating. So when you look back, because it's only been a couple of years to the point of before you introduced high-performing culture and the fundamental system into your organization, how does it feel or look different? What does your culture look like today that it didn't look like a couple of years ago?
I think the thing that, I mean, again, I think we had a strong mission and, you know, people understood the guiding principles. But I think this provides just a much more obvious outward, you know, people carry their fundamental cards. I actually just started a board meeting. We have a new capital partner, and our first board meeting with the capital partner, I started with the fundamental of the week, and I think they were a little taken aback, but it was really helpful because I think they understood, you know, this is who this company is that we are investing in.
This company's different.
And Yeah, and I think that, you know, having the sort of reminders, the other thing I will say, no one wants to, peers do not like to give each other feedback. I mean, I don't care what we pretend that, you know, people don't like to do it. It's hard,
right,
and it's uncomfortable. And what I am hearing from our staff is that they don't have to go so direct toe-to-toe on that, that they could actually reference a fundamental and, you know, give an example, and it's been helpful to be able to use that.
Interesting. So your referral base would normally, would be in most businesses considered, you know, your customer base. Those are the people who are feeding your patient base through referrals. When you talk to them, when your, you know, new business development team talks to them, do you refer to your fundamentals or your culture at all as a point of differentiation or as a sales point?
I think we're just starting to do that. Certainly my VP of business development does. I mean, he is, you know, he pretty much wears the fundamentals on his shirt every day. So, you know, I think he's drawn attention to that when he's in customer meetings. But we also, about 6 months in, we worked with HPC to do a survey of our families and our referral sources, our funding sources. And that was also really helpful to see sort of what the top areas that we're really doing well in, as well as, you know, areas that we need to continue to focus on. So I think on the sort of the business development side, we're getting there, but I don't think we've really hit that one, you know, full circle yet.
It's interesting that you mentioned the survey, because we're sometimes asked, you know, what measurable impact the fundamental system can have on a company. And, you know, as well as anybody, it's really difficult to isolate the variables enough to really tell, okay, well, we can measure this impact this way. But the survey is one way in which you can set a sort of a baseline of statistics or milestones, and then measure that every year thereafter to see what areas you're improving on. So that's a really good point that you brought up. In terms of impact, since you started doing this, what do you think is the single biggest impact that you've seen since you started practicing the fundamental system?
I think the impact is it's given us a more tangible common language, common expectations. And I do think that, I mean, when I read, and this may sound silly, but when I read emails sometimes from staff inside, and they'll be telling me something, but they'll be referencing the fundamentals. And I'm always caught off guard when I see that. It's like, ooh,
yeah,
they're really using them. And I think, you know, I'm a big believer in storytelling, and we do length of service and, you know, tell stories. But I've even seen in some of those length of service awards that we do where people will, you know, pull in a fundamental or two of things that they're that happened to them, you know, during whatever that time frame is. And I love that. I think that, you know, just reinforces that this was the right thing for us to take on.
Yeah, it's funny. I've heard other CEOs say that over time it starts to become a part of everyone's DNA. And you're right. You start to hear that language coming back at you, and you think, wow, it's really taking hold. People are starting to marinate in all of this. And we've even heard stories of people saying, you know, it's affected me in a really positive way on my personal side, because I can't take this language and just sort of shut it off at 5 o'clock. It becomes part of your language when you go home. So they've been able to communicate better with their kids or their husband or whatever. And so
I have to tell you an example that of exactly that happened. So one of my staff came to me. This was right after Thanksgiving. And he said to me, hey, I wanted to let you know that over Thanksgiving, my son was home from college. And he said, while we were at the table, I said to him, I want you to stay for a little bit. I want to show you something. And he said, I walked through the fundamental card with my son because I wanted him to understand that these are important things in life that he needs to know.
Wow.
And
pretty interesting.
I will tell you, that will always stick with me. If I didn't do anything else, you know, in terms of you know, bringing this here, that story alone, I think, reinforces that these are not, you know, magical statements. These are things that we all should strive for.
Yep. Yeah, it's common sense. It's not complicated. It's just common sense. So we've only got about a minute or two left. With our remaining time, if you could give one piece of advice to other CEOs about culture or practicing fundamentals, what would you tell them?
Well, you know, I think, and especially today, you know, organizations are, it's busy. It's a busy, busy time. And, you know, in most industries, I mean, there's more regulation, there's more oversight. And I think that trying to create a little bit more predictability and consistency inside goes a long way. You know, if we can get our teams to be better aligned to what we're doing and how we want to do it, it makes the workplace better. And I truly believe that the employees of today are more focused on how the organization feels. And so if you can help your organization to feel better, I think people do better.
That's a good point. Really. Okay, that's all we have today. I'd like to thank my guest, Joanne Finnegan. Joanne, if people would like to learn a little bit, can you give us your website address?
Yes, it's www.remed, and that's remed.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Joanne. Today's broadcast was brought to you by HighPerformingCulture.com. Join us again on May 2nd when I'll be talking culture with Andy Levin, owner of MHS Lift Incorporated. Thanks for listening in, and we'll talk to you next time on Talking Culture.